We're crossing to London for our first conversation of the morning with Rich Preston, the host of BBC Topline. Rich delivers daily global news briefings for US Breakfast Radio and appears regularly on other major international news media around the world. Good evening to you, Rich. Good morning from us.
A very good morning to you there, Jim. Yeah, just coming up to 7:15 in the evening here, so nearly dinner time for me.
Before dinner, the headline in the Independent newspaper, "The fallout from a snap of the Princess of Wales with her children may have done lasting damage to the royal family's public image." Will it have done? I noticed the BBC's reporting pushback from the public, and the tabloids, Rich, have been full of sympathy for Kate.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You talked about it in your introduction as a saga, Jim, and I do think that's the best way to describe it, because the way it rolled on for many people seemed, oh, does this just need to drag on? It just seemed to be slip up after slip up after slip up. Now, whether it dents your impression of the royal family depends on your impression of the royal family to begin with, because there will be some people who've seen this news story unravel. And we can get to the nuts and bolts of it in a bit, if you like. But there will be some people that will have seen it unravel and will have seen this as an overfixation with the royals, putting pressure on a young woman who's trying to raise a family amid health concerns and media spotlighting of someone who's otherwise generally a very private person. And there will be other people that say, you know, this is justifiably critique and criticism of a family which is paid for by the state. And there will be other people that say, well, I don't care what you say. I have to say about some stupid photo. I think she's lovely and wonderful, and I think she does really hard work. So has it done any damage? Possibly, maybe a bit of reputational damage within this whole kind of photo editing thing. Has it done any long-term damage to the reputation of the royals? Well, if you were already a fan of the royals, probably not, really.
Yeah, that seems like a good summation. I read the feedback coming into one of the papers, making the salient larger point that media must regularly publish images that have been altered or edited, especially when celebs are involved. And they were asking, is there a double standard here, i.e. Doctoring is very bad unless it's us doing the doctoring. And portraits through the centuries are possibly very flattering to their subjects. So when you look at it that way, I suppose it seems like a storm in a teacup.
Yeah, totally. And it really does depend on which side of the line you fall here and where that line goes. Because, as you say, you know, touching up a bit of brightness here, lifting a bit of colour there, you might consider, well, that's fine, that's perfectly normal. But then do you start, you know, are you at a movie premiere? Actually, the crowd's not as deep as you want it to be. Do you boost the numbers in the crowd? Does that change the interpretation of what happened? I was listening to an interview with a press photographer from one of the news agencies who was saying that for them, the line is on what changes the interpretation of what happened. So if you're, you know, boosting the brightness and slightly lifting some of the colours to make the image pop, that's one thing. If you're changing the entire weather in the background to make it seem like it was a sunny day versus a rainy day, then that's a different story altogether. But of course, with this image, there wasn't just one little tweak here or there. And that was what really caused concern. And I think if there had been one small thing, then people might have been able to let it slide, but it was the fact there was one thing after another that really started to fuel this fire, really.
Yes, there are lots of little circles around things in the photo. Rich Morgan is with us. Rich Preston is with us. Piers Morgan, sorry to suggest you might be related. Piers Morgan says he's heard alarming whispers relating to the Princess of Wales. But if you ignore gossip, I mean, Occam's razor suggests that the situation with Kate is, as they have said, an operation, maybe a mental break as well, which she has good reason to take, especially at the end of a very big year. That's the story we know at the moment, yeah?
Absolutely. And, you know, as you say, Occam's razor, the simplest solution is probably the best one. You're talking about a young woman with a family who does a lot of public work, which must be tiring, and has gone through a major, major health procedure. I mean, who wouldn't want time off from that and time out of the spotlight? that is the information that we're going on at the moment. You talk about whispers and gossip, and anything else, that's all it is. It's whispers and gossip. So, for example, some people were looking at this photograph and saying, oh, look at the princess's left hand. There's no wedding ring or no engagement ring on that finger. Hmm. Could we deduce something from that? Possibly. Could we deduce that maybe she'd just been doing the dishes or the gardening or, you know, playing with Play-Doh with one of her kids? Also possibly true. The fact of the matter is, we don't know anything until we get any kind of decent information. Problem with that is the only kind of real sources of information, other than sources of gossip and leaks, is the palace itself, which then leads you to the whole point of, well, how much do you trust the palace as a reliable source? And when the tweet came out from the princess saying that she'd been involved in touching up the photo, playing around, a bit of amateur photography, that itself started a few questions, because people were saying, well, hold on a second, if you're the amateur photographer, who was taking the picture? Well, of course, we were told it was the Prince of Wales himself, William. It's like, well, he took a very good picture for someone who's not even an amateur photographer. So did he really take it? And why do the touching up? And, you know, just a whole big web of mess, really, Jim. And it's impossible to get anything concrete.
Yeah, I'm sure we all agree there are lots of questions, to the extent to which we're interested or not. One last aspect of this, Rich. Phil Chetwynd, Global News Director of the AFP Photo Agency, has told the BBC that Kensington Palace is absolutely not a trusted source anymore. He said the previous photo kills have been from the North Korean and Iranian news agencies. Just to give you some background and context, he said. Is it a bit ridiculous to compare what's ostensibly a family portrait Photoshop fail with misinformation from repressive regimes? You were alluding to the gradations of this earlier. I mean, if that is the context, could the agencies have handled this differently and less self-importantly, and maybe in the old days they might have?
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge deal to say that, to be honest. I mean, I could understand if the palace were offended by having the kind of comparisons between, as you say, authoritarian and dictatorial regimes. But when you think about it, most reputable journalistic organizations, whether it's RNZ or the BBC or the Reuters news agency, they don't take anything as concrete unless it's from their own correspondents. And even then, they'll go around trying to second source. You take a statement from the government, you would always preface it with "the government says." And actually, it's this point of realization that we've just kind of taken a lot of what the palace says as fact. Even when Kate put out the tweet saying that she'd edited the photos, most news agencies and news organizations ran with the headline, "Kate edited the photos." Actually, the headline should be, "Kate says she edited the photos." We still don't know if that's true. We've only had it from a single source. So I think with Phil Chetwynd saying this, it's actually just an acknowledgement that not necessarily is the palace doing anything wrong or bad, but they are just a source which is not impartial, and they need second sourcing and backing up and verifying just as any other source would.
Absolutely not a trusted source sounded fairly severe, but I take your point. No chance, Rich, of a snap election now in the UK?
No, it seems not. It's funny, we know that there's an election coming. The Prime Minister earlier on in the year said he expected it to happen at in the second half of the year. A couple of weeks ago, press teams were assembled in Downing Street for an announcement by the Prime Minister. The lectern was set up with the Downing Street logo on. This all sounded very exciting, got all the political correspondents buzzing, expecting this was going to be an announcement of an election date. And it wasn't. It was a speech on extremism. And then the rumour mill generated again. Well, are the elections going to happen on this date in May, when there's going to be the mayoral elections in England? And actually, in an interview just the other day, the Prime Minister has put that to bed as well. So we are now back to looking at this second half of the year. Most guesses would be kind of around the October time frame, because, of course, think about November. You know, our cousins across the pond are having their own elections. Do you really want to be doing both at the same time? Possibly not. So, yeah, as it stands, looking still towards the end of the year, but not anytime soon.
Will later rather than sooner make any difference? I mean, how far are Labour ahead in the polls?
Labour are currently 44% in the polls, Conservatives at 23%. Mm. Labour would love it if there was an election, Jim, tomorrow. They would absolutely storm it if the polls are to be believed. They would want it sooner rather than later. But they're going to have to accept the Prime Minister's call on this one. And really, it's down to what happens between now and whenever the election is, because news can turn on a dime, as our American cousins would say. And all it takes is one scandal or one corruption case or one, you know, political resignation, and a party's polls can flip back and forth. I mean, one of the reasons the Conservatives are doing so badly at the moment is because of some of the stories around their own MPs, which have not helped them, including, you know, defections, racist comments, and all these kinds of things. So Labour are on a bit of a high at the moment. That could all change overnight, depending on any news that emerges.
What are the issues, or what's the news at the moment? Is there a feeling that Brexit has failed and that Britain needs to repair its relationship with the EU? I see that's been suggested by former top Tory and Hong Kong Governor Chris Patten.
Yeah, well, regardless of your views on Brexit when it happened, whether you voted for it or not, the polls suggest that the views of people are increasingly that Brexit was a mistake, and less so that Brexit was a good thing. Those two figures were fairly close together, obviously, when the election, when the referendum happened and in the months afterwards, and they have slowly got wider and wider apart. What's really interesting is that we have already seen, for want of a better phrase, a patching up in terms of some relations. So there's a scientific community of research scientists, which includes with it, you know, money for grants and all this kind of thing. And when Brexit happened, Britain automatically was no longer part of that. And then there was a big celebration several months later when Britain rejoined it. You know, we had ministers coming on the BBC who had advocated for Brexit, talking about how great it was to be part of this scientific community and how this was going to be great for British scientists and research across Europe. And of course, many people said, well, hold on, we were in this organisation in the first place. The only reason we're going back in is because you pulled us out as part of Brexit. So there is this view that Brexit has made things difficult for people, especially amongst younger people. You know, they think of the end to student exchange programs, the end of the ease of moving, living, working abroad, this kind of thing. So many people do believe Brexit was a mistake. That doesn't change the fact it's not going to be undone. You know, the genie's out of the bottle now, as it were. But that is certainly a sentiment amongst some people, been exacerbated by things like the cost of living crisis, where that ties up money in different ways and forms as well.
Yes, always the economy. If the mood has swung against Brexit, is it going to help or hinder the Tories to have Boris Johnson back in the fray campaigning for them?
Well, I'm no pollster, and I don't claim to be a political analyst. My take on it from interviewing people and hearing people talk about this would be that it would hinder. Boris Johnson was, for want of a better phrase, a character politician. And people liked him because of his character. Whether you agreed with all of his politics and policies or his personal background or not, lots of people liked the character of Boris Johnson. Of course, he's since got tied up in various issues, the COVID inquiry, deleted WhatsApps, all these kinds of things. And he will always be the prime minister that got Britain through Brexit, if you like. So if, as you mentioned, there is this increasing displeasure with how Brexit panned out, then I think if I was Tory leader or high up in the Tory party, I would be keeping Boris Johnson as far away from it as I could, as far away from the limelight as I could, if nothing else to refresh the image, because he is kind of tarnished with the brush of having been involved with it before. As I say, whatever your views on Mr. Johnson may be.
Before we go, just a minute or so left to talk to you, but the issue of deportation flights to Rwanda, this saga goes back to the House of Commons tomorrow, is that right?
Yes, and do you know what? It feels like this is a merry-go-round that just keeps on going round and round. It's stuck on a loop, because this was the Conservatives' plan to send people who had come to the UK seeking asylum to Rwanda on the deportation flights. And it was not deporting them to Rwanda, but it was sending them to Rwanda where they would be held in processing facilities there, and they would have their asylum applications processed in Rwanda. And if they were told, you're welcome in the UK, great, back on a plane, back to Britain. And if you were told, sorry, your asylum claim's been rejected, then you go back to the country from whence you came. This has been kicked back at every single possible opportunity, including by people in the Conservative Party themselves. It's had legal challenges, the major one being over the fact that Rwanda is not considered by all to be a safe country. I mean, you can look at the British government's own website for travel advice to Rwanda, and it talks about, you know, crimes against people who are homosexual, crimes against women, sexual violence, accusations of human rights abuses in security forces. And yet here was the British government trying to send people to Rwanda, claiming it was a safe place to go. And the government resolved that issue by passing a law which enshrined in British law that Rwanda has to be considered a safe country. They thought they'd won that one. And then there was yet another pushback. So there's this constant to and fro between the government and the opposition parties, but also, as I say, between members of the Conservative's own party. And now there's this offer to entice people to temporarily relocate to Rwanda with a lump sum of cash, in the hope that that kind of usurps the problem of these deportation flights by saying, well, actually, we are not sending these people to Rwanda. Look at this. They're technically choosing to go of their own free will. Mm. And while they're there, if they want to choose to apply for asylum in Britain, they can. And if they get it, they're welcome to come to the UK. And if they don't, then they have to go back to their home country. So it really is a mess. And I think anyone in government would say that as well, purely because, if nothing else, of the number of times this has been round the millstone.
Rich, always nice to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us again this morning on Sunday morning.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be with you.